Hello, everybody. This is Radioactive TV. No, it's not. It's radioactive because it's radio, you fool. And it's Patterson Joseph. I don't know what I'm doing.
Trotz seiner spaßigen Vorstellung weiß der heutige Gast unserer Interviewreihe ganz genau, was er tut. Patterson Joseph ist ein englischer Schauspieler mit jahrzehntelanger Erfahrung auf der Bühne und dem Bildschirm. Darunter in Filmen und Serien wie The Beach, The Leftovers und Timeless. Seid gespannt auf Teil 1 mit Einblicken in seine Karriere, seine letzte Filmrolle als Bösewicht in Wonka mit Timothy Chalamet und vieles mehr. Wie sucht Patterson seine Rollen aus? Und bevorzugt er die Theaterbühne oder Film und Fernsehen?
Most actors don't have a lot of control over what they do. And I know that doesn't look like it from the outside, but our choices are limited to other people wanting us to do things. You basically do what comes along, audition for it, and you hope you get it. In the case of the preference, because I always thought of myself as a theater actor. Why? Because my eyes are big, my face is big, it moves a lot, I'm very expressive. The first time I saw myself on camera, it was just appalling. And I thought, no, nobody wants to see that. And honestly, I didn't know what I was doing. And it's taken me, I would say, probably a decade or two, probably two decades, to really be fully comfortable on set. I mean, it's a different environment to theater.
Wie genau unterscheidet sich Schauspielarbeit zwischen Film und Theater?
So I equate film work with studio work for a musician. In that you can repeat things. If it goes wrong and you stumble, you just go back. You can experiment and try some different things out on the day, different ways of saying things, different energies in a scene. Whereas with theatre, it's a bit like live performance. In fact, it is live performance. You are supposed really to be absolutely focused on the fact that this is only going to happen once. So there's a sort of degree of pressure on it on the stage compared to on a film set. And it is good pressure because you're telling a story in one hit and there's no going back. If you stumble, you have to justify the stumble or in some way just push through it. And it's quite a good discipline. It makes your heart race in a way that that doesn't happen on set, really. And there are a lot less people to sort of guide you and tell you where to go and where your movements can be. So there's a degree of freedom. So very different disciplines.
Aber Patterson sieht auch Vor- und Nachteile in beiden Medien.
The advantage, I guess, of film work is that you can be very subtle, or at least feel that you're being very subtle with what you're conveying. The disadvantage is that it's very bitty. It's very piecemeal. It's not whole. You're not ever telling the whole story in one scene. It's always a bit of it. The advantage of theatre is, of course, that you get to use your entire body, spirit, mind, soul, everything in you gets to have a run out, as it were, you know, like a car. A high quality car, you know, being able to drive fast is what it really wants to do. But, you know, you're sort of idling in traffic when you're doing TV work, and you've got to just sort of puddle along. You can't do too big. But the disadvantage, I guess, of theatre is twofold. One is that you have only one shot that night for that audience. Yes, of course, you can do it tomorrow, but that audience have now seen that show, so that's gone now forever. And it's also more exhausting physically because you're expending quite a lot of energy. If you're doing it right, you're expending quite a lot of energy every night.
Seine aktuelle Filmrolle war im Fantasy-Musical Wonka, einer Produktion mit 125 Millionen Dollar Budget. Daran waren zahlreiche Künstlerinnen und Künstler beteiligt.
Wonka, for example, would have had hundreds upon hundreds of people working on building the set, who we probably never meet. Hundreds of people working on the digital side, of course, afterwards for the special effects. And the digital effects, again, you never meet those people. Editors, who you very rarely meet. The musician who made the music for Wonka, for example, I didn't meet any of them apart from the musical director and the the writer of the music. And then not to mention the actual crew on the set, the electricians, the lighting people, the sound department. It's a much bigger operation, much less intimate, much less sort of family than theatre.
Wie lange dauert die Arbeit an so einem großen Projekt?
Sort of started rehearsing in right about September 2021. We started filming around about early November, late October, something like that, I think. And then we filmed all the way up until about February or March 2022. And then we had to come back at the end of 2022 to film some bits that they didn't quite catch, or they changed the story a bit when they'd seen it in the edit. So we came back and did a few more scenes, a few more rewritten scenes of the scenes we'd already done.
In seine Bösewichtrolle als Arthur Slugworth schlüpfte Patterson trotz langer Drehpausen problemlos wieder hinein.
Once I put the costume on, I sort of slipped into it very easily. He has a very distinctive look, distinctive manner, so the voice, you know, nasty voice that he has. Even just saying the name Wonka, it always has a kind of to it. He never says anybody's name actually particularly straightforwardly, and he can't say chocolate properly like a human being. It always has a slight, I think because there's a slight fetish in there somewhere, so he might go chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. There's something about it that that he can never quite say the same each time. So all of those things came back very, very quickly.
Nach Drehschluss dauert es lange Zeit, bis so ein Film in die Kinos kommt. Woran liegt das?
Editing on a film that will have special effects is just much longer than any other kind of movie. You know, if you're doing a movie about two people sitting around a table or a family gathering, that's going to take a few months. Whereas with a film like Wonka, for example, because you've got people flying, you've got people changing the color of their hair instantly, you've got all sorts of magical creatures, and that's just a lot of people, hundreds, in fact, working on the sort of digital life of the film after you've finished. So I guess what you do after about a year or so when the thing has come out is to be able to talk about it, you'll need to see it in some way. And I hadn't seen much of Wonka when we were promoting it.
Wie hat es sich für Patterson angefühlt, für einen Film Werbung zu machen, den schon lange abgedreht hatte?
There is a strangeness about talking about something that happened in your past in that way, when you've obviously been working on other things and your head is in a completely different space. But you just have to switch and sort of remember it. And it was such a memorable shoot. It was so well constructed that when you went on to the set, you see the town square, when you go out onto that town square set, you know, the one with the chocolate fountain. It was so well built that everywhere you looked actually looked like a proper town, even though behind it, of course, it's a facade, and behind it there's very little. But the details of everything was so striking.
2007 hatte Patterson ebenfalls eine Rolle als Bösewicht in der Kultserie Jekyll. Unmoralische Rollen bereiten ihm tatsächlich ein besonderes Vergnügen.
I love that character because he was deeply amoral. I'm not saying I'm perfectly moral, but I'm just saying that he had a particular amorality that was enjoyable to play. And when you do play characters that are off your center, as we would say, you don't consider yourself to be that kind of person, but you're playing this kind of person, it actually is a lot of fun. It's a little bit like ventriloquists. Their puppets can be quite rude and say all sorts of things. And the ventriloquist is like, I don't know why they're saying this. And I think characters can be a bit like that, especially if they're a bit extreme. They allow you to express things that you'd never be able to express. Sometimes bits of character stay with you. So there's a sort of aggression in the Jekyll character. There's a sort of brashness, sort of confidence that might have stayed with me for a couple of weeks. I've played characters that stayed with me a lot longer. Some I really, really wish they would have gone a long time ago, but they just seem to sit. But most of the time, it's really expedient to get rid of that character as soon as you can, and so you can play the next one, you know, with a clean slate.
Sein Charakter in Jekyll war US-Amerikaner. Wie man sich für eine Rolle in einem fremden Akzent vertieft, hat Patterson bei seiner ersten Filmrolle bei einem Oscar-Preisträger gesehen.
I worked very briefly for about a month with Daniel Day-Lewis on a film called In the Name of the Father. It's the first movie I ever did. He was playing a real person, a man called Jerry Conlan, who'd been wrongly accused of planting a bomb for the IRA and been sent to prison for many, many years. I think he served 15 years or so. But he was from Northern Ireland, which is a very specific accent. Northern Ireland has a very, very specific timbre and a very specific phrasing. And so he kept his accent even at lunchtime, all through the day. I don't think, bar maybe the first day and the premiere, I ever heard Daniel talking in his own accent. And that might be considered weird or strange, but I could see why, because that's not his accent. He's a very Southern English accent, his own accent. So he maintained that Northern Ireland accent in order not to lose it or have to think too much about it.
Wie wirkt sich ein fremder Akzent auf die Performance aus?
If you're a performer, you need to understand that an accent also brings an attitude. If you're playing a working class person whose language is not trying to show their education, you might speak more punchily. You might speak with more urgency, fewer words, shorter words. And if you're playing somebody who's a great lord of a manor, where you know as soon as I open my mouth, everybody's going to be silent, you're going to speak much more slowly. Your body changes, your attitude changes, and that is character. But you ought to look at what the writer is intending and try, if you can, if the director is amenable, to get as close to that as possible. Accent is so vital.
Über die Jahre stand Patterson bei zahlreichen Theaterproduktionen auf der Bühne. 2019 spielte er Ebenezer Scrooge bei einer Aufführung von A Christmas Carol im Londoner Old Vic Theatre. Wie geht man eine so oft adaptierte Geschichte an?
You know, A Christmas Carol, for example, is fixed, and yet it's indelible. It stays with you, no matter how many versions you've seen. But people can adapt a classic like that in any way they want. That original version stays with you. The novel was about a man not having any empathy for another human being, to completely shut himself off from those feelings and to bury them as deeply as possible, in order to do the one thing that was possible, which is make money. So then I thought, well, he's obviously an insecure character. If you need to be that much in control, what is underneath that that you're trying to hide? And of course, by the time you get to the end, this great exuberant, almost Father Christmas figure appears. So that arc of I mean, and I mean for a good reason, then turns into I let go of that reason, and now I can be who I am. It's technically quite challenging for the Scrooge character because there is so much to pick up and boxes of different sizes to put into the stage, and you've got to do it in the right order, and you're still speaking while you're doing it. And there are places you've got to be, otherwise you get caught by a bit of a machinery that will just take your head off. But we'd rehearsed it very well. And again, as I said, I had my foundation. I knew what I was doing as a character in the midst of all this technical stuff.
Wie ist noch an die Rolle des Scrooge herangegangen?
It was easy to be true to the original in my interpretation, of course, of the original. And so I went fully mean. I was very, very mean. Children were frightened. So I think if he was a little nicer at the beginning, it wouldn't be such a big transformation. And I think if he wasn't as hugely enthusiastic about Christmas, then you would have thought, well, he's come some way, but he's still got a long way to go. Actually, I wanted it to be as Dickens had it. He wakes up that next morning and, is it Christmas? It's Christmas. I love Christmas. He has to lose everything. He has to be almost sort of stripped naked of his protective armor, both emotionally and even physically. It was much more sort of exuberant. And yeah, it was a joy. It was a joy to play a real tough role because of the emotional arc and the fact that sometimes we were doing it 9 times a week, which is quite tough. So a matinee in the afternoon and the evening show. But yeah, great, great fun.
Welche Unterschiede gibt es zwischen britischen und amerikanischen Dreharbeiten? Was waren Pattersons Lieblingsrollen? Und wie hat er über das Schauspiel seine Fähigkeiten als Schriftsteller entdeckt? All das und mehr hört ihr bald im zweiten Teil.